So everybody keep the faith, 'cause soon there'll be a day when all the skies will break.
heaven as gold.
You have come for me, I fall down.
you are, but I've come to give praise to the one true King. Come on, somebody shout a hallelujah in this place. Come on. Yay. Help me sing. Help me sing.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Your call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. It's when you call my
save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. Just as the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah, if there's anything that he can do, come on, just as the stone that was rolled out to. What happens when God says
Hallelujah. I feel some dry bones coming back to life. I feel some dreams that you thought were dead. Wake it up. Come on. If you feel it in this room, somebody shout a praise right now. Right now, before you see it, shout out to God. Come on. Hallelujah. Because God said live. Right now, I'm declaring it in this room. He said live. He said live. Dry bones come to life. Live. So we're going to declare what God says in this house this morning. Come on. He said live. Come on. Because this is what he said. Live. Live. Dry bones hear the word of the Lord. Live. Live. Dry bones hear the word of the Lord. Live. Live. Dry bones hear the word of the Lord. Live. Live. I want to declare, and I want you to say, live. But you, Father, no one but you, no one but you could heal me the way I've been healed, deliver me, Lord. We thank you, no one but you. We glorify you in this place. Hallelujah.
Who can melt the hardest hearts and speak life into my soul? Spin the world around and hold me ever close. Who can search the depths of me and love me to the core? Who controls the world I walks me through it all. No one but you.
Give God praise today. There's no one like our God. There's no one like Him. There's no one like the Lord today. No one like You. Lord, there's nobody like You. Just lift your hands. Today is Thanksgiving Sunday. We just had Thanksgiving. Lift your hands and give God thanks. Say, Lord, there's no one like You. There's no one who can compare. There's no one but You, Lord. You alone deserve all my praise. You deserve all my worship. Lord, You're the faithful God. You are the creator of heaven and earth, Lord. Every good thing in my life comes from You. You're the Father of lights, with whom there's no shadow of turning, Lord. You never change. You are good. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are our provider. You are our protector. You are our Savior. You are everything that we need, Lord. There's no one but You. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, shout it out today. Hallelujah. Amen. Give God praise. Clap your hands. Give Him a shout. There's no one but You, Lord.
Morning, Ascent Church. How are you all this morning? Praise God. You know, when you worship Him, you're just declaring how great He is. that he can do anything, and that he loves you. That's what I'm so grateful. You know, because he loves us, the Bible says he grafted us into the family. We're a part. And so whatever he's provided for us is provided not just when we get to heaven, it's provided now. It's provided now. So let's just step into everything he has for us. And today, at this time in the service, if there's a need you have in your life, there's something you're struggling with, whether it's addiction, whether it's a bad report you've got from the doctor in your health, whatever it is, if it's a financial situation you're facing, lawsuits, there's things that people face every day, and we got to come to the Lord for his help. Amen. And so this is the opportunity. We have one more song we're going to sing. We're going to worship the Lord, but we're going to have our prayer team up front. They're full of faith. They'll pray with you, and just come forward, and the rest of us are going to worship. And I just want to say to those that are watching online, you can participate in this today. I just received this from us today. We just stretch our hands towards the studio audience right now, to those watching in the days to come, and we just release the healing power of God to flow into their homes and into their lives. Father, you know whatever it is they need that you have it. When we sang about the dry bones rattling, that's things that have died, marriages that seem dead, situations that seem like they're never going to turn around. Father, I just speak to those and command them to turn around right now. I just speak the anointing of God to flow into those homes and those marriages and into those bodies, into those situations, and revive and restore, because there's a miracle available, a miracle available, and we just release it right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. So family, we're going to sing this last song, and this worship team do a beautiful job. You know, they put a lot of time, and they do it not because it's a performance, it's because they want to lead us into the presence of God. And the Bible says, thanksgiving, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. It's the way we get into the presence of God, is with worship. So it's not a time filler. Forget about people around you. I don't have a great singing voice, but I just think my neighbor Carol was standing next to me this morning. She doesn't care. And if she does, she should move further away. I'm just going to sing, and I'm going to worship God and forget about what anybody else thinks, right? Because it's to him. There's no one. No one. Amen.
So hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. Take the broken things and raise them to glory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say. You crown me with confidence. I'm seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all
an undefeated God, who always causes me to triumph, who always causes me to win. Yeah, we worship. I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me.
And shout, every wall you believe that this morning, you better give him a shout of praise. Come on, praise him in advance. Come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Praise God. I love that. It's not just about the victory that he won. It's the fact that he's conferred that over on us. That we have authority. We are seated. The Bible says we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our position. Praise God. Well, happy Thanksgiving, family. Welcome to Ascend Church this morning. Won't you turn, tell somebody what you are thankful for today. Praise God. Everybody had a good Thanksgiving? Anybody did not eat too much? We had a quiet day. We kind of do things a little different in our family because Nadine's, our daughter who lives close to us, is a pediatric ICU nurse, and she has to pick between Christmas or Thanksgiving to work. So she always picks Thanksgiving, which is fine with us. So we make different plans, but I hope you had a good celebration. Remember what you're thankful for. Amen. Well, welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you've joined us. You know, for people that watch all around the world, just comment and say where you're watching from. We love to just connect with you, and it's amazing that we can do that right on a Sunday morning. And welcome to our Ascend Church members. We're glad you're watching today. You haven't been back in church yet, but we're just so thankful for you. We miss you. We can't wait to see you again. And to our first-time guests, we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We have people visit almost every single week, and I don't know how you got here, if someone invited you, but we want you to feel welcome. So if you're here for the first time today, would you mind just waving your hand to us? If there's anyone, God bless you. Come on, let's make her feel welcome. Anyone else? For the first time, so glad you're here. Our ushers would have handed you a visitor pack, and we ask you to take a moment and fill out the card that says guest. Over this side too, thank you, Roxroy. And if you just fill out the card that says guest, drop it in the offering bucket that comes by at the end of the service. Just gives us the opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. We thank you for doing that. I want to remind you of the four different platforms that you can watch on. Well, actually, we can add one to it, but we can add the TV program because we are, Pastor Steve, the service today will be on Fox 29 next Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. That's always something that you can share with people. It broadens our reach because there are people that sit in their homes but don't haven't ventured into church yet, but they'll watch and receive from the message. We have our website, ascendchurch.us. We have our mobile app. And actually today, if you look on the front of the seats in front of you, there's a little barcode. If you see that little barcode, if you don't have our mobile app yet, do yourself a favor. Just hover your camera from your phone over that barcode, and it'll give you a link to take you right into the app. And there's so much on there, much more than just the message. There's blogs, there's our calendar, there's a whole lot that is on there, and it's all shareable. There's the Bible, a Bible reading plan. It's all on there. You can watch on YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter. You can watch on Facebook Live. And go ahead, if you Facebook Live, just go ahead and share that. Any one of those, just share them today. It's a way to reach out to other people. And send in prayer requests. Those that are watching, we'd be glad if you did that. We'll pray with you. There's a Spanish translation available on right here in the service. If you want a Spanish translation, you can just summon one of the ushers, and they'll give you information. You just need earphones and a smartphone, and you can watch it in Spanish on our website and on YouTube. So I just want to remind you of the four purposes of our church. Does my voice just go on and on and on? I want to remind you, do you know what the four purposes of our church are? To know God, to find freedom, to discover your purpose and to make a difference. Amen. And I just want to remind you, have you all got one of these Christmas card, the Christmas calendar? If you haven't got it, pick it up on the way out. We have a number of different things. We put it down on a card to make it just easier to remember, but it is on our app as well, on a website. So we've got something on every Sunday. You know, next Sunday begins December, right? Well, it starts before then, but we always count by Sundays. So the first Sunday, which is next Sunday, the 6th. Yes, is someone say Jill? No? On the 6th, there's our Christmas photo op. So do yourself a favor, get yourself dressed up, bring your family, and we're going to have two photo ops set up. It'll be easy, simple, and it'll give you a great Christmas card for this year. So that's our blessing to you. That's this first Sunday, the 6th. And then we are on Sunday, the 13th, we're doing a Christmas Around the World potluck lunch. So Debbie is going to be out in the lobby. She's taking names and dishes that people, I know how well people in this church cook. I know how well you eat. And I know how well you cook. So let's do your specialty for your church family. And we're going to do that on December 13th after service. And then on December the 20th, we're going to have a live nativity with the petting zoo. And the children's church are going to have a Happy Birthday Jesus Christmas party. It's a big deal to them. If you haven't been back to our kids' church lately, go take a walk through there. We've set it up. We have a Bible buck system where they're rewarded every time they learn a memory verse, rewarded when they praise the Lord, rewarded when they participate, rewarded when they bring their Bibles or bring a friend, and they love it. So we have all their Bible buck store set up there. It's such a great system. So go have a look if you haven't seen it. Our kids really love it. But there are a couple of other things on there, but they're all online, and we'll just be reminding you of them. And we have on Thursday, December 24th, our Christmas Eve service. It's going to be 1 hour long, 7 till 8 p.m. It's a great chance to just get together, remember the reason for the season. Don't be shopping last minute on Christmas Eve. Be in church.
Absolutely.
Ryan, you agree?
I agree 125%.
Only?
Amen. It's good to see you. Good morning, everybody. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. Is that Wendy? Good to see you, Wendy. Glad you're here. We had a great time yesterday at the Mighty Men's meeting. Where's all the Mighty Men today? Are there any Mighty Men here? Come on, Daniel, put your hand up. You're a Mighty Man, right? I want to thank everybody for coming yesterday. We had a good time. We had about 40 men here. And I want to thank Ray for cooking for us. He did a wonderful job. Thank you, Ray. He put a lot of time and effort into having breakfast for us yesterday. So thank you. We appreciate it, Ray. And we're going to be doing it again. We're going to be doing something again. Something different. We might go to the shooting range. Who knows? We're men. You hope not? You know, this little Christmas card, invite, really, I call it an invite card, because this is a way for you to invite somebody over December to come to church. We've got different things happening every Sunday. And of course, the big one for me is the Christmas Eve service, the Christmas Eve carol service, the 24th. Please use this card to invite somebody to come to our Christmas Eve service. What do you say? Amen. I wanted to say thank you to the worship team. Did a wonderful job today, didn't they? As they always do. They're getting better and better. They're getting better and better. It was so good. Worship. Do you know, worship, we start out the service with worship, with praise, because that's really where we come to minister to the Lord. That's where you come to give unto God. And then, right now, we're getting ready to receive from the Lord, because now the Lord's going to minister to you. You don't want to miss out on worship, because it's a major part of preparing yourself to receive from God. And it's a major part. Listen, coming to church on Sunday is not just about hearing a sermon. It's about encountering God. It's having an encounter with the Lord. We want to help you to do what? Number one, to know God better. And one of the ways that you come to know the Lord better, enter into His presence, is through worship. Amen. So I want to really encourage you to, I mean, the music was so good today. You don't want to miss any of it. From the first song, it's so good. And it really changes your whole, it changes your whole mindset. It changes your whole, the atmosphere around you, doesn't it? It really does. So praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready.
I am ready.
I'm ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you are so good, Lord. We are so thankful for every good thing in our life. We know that it comes from you. And Father, we thank you today that we can be in your house. We thank you that we are your children. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for redeeming us. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your presence today, and I thank you for your anointing. And I make it known that I'm not trusting in myself, Lord. I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in you, Holy Spirit, that you will anoint me, that you will speak through me, and that you will bring revelation to every person here today. May your word go down deep into every heart and change our life, Lord, that we become more like you every day. We give you all the praise for everything said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to go ahead and welcome our television audience, because today was the third week that we've been on Fox 29, 3 weeks now. And so thank you for keep praying for that, because I'm praying that God will use that television program to draw people, to impact people's lives, that they would come to know the Lord. Amen. Are you ready? Mark? We're ready, right? All righty. Hi, I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in beautiful Jupiter, Florida. If you live anywhere near Jupiter, I want to invite you. We'd love to have you come visit our church. I promise you, we'll make you feel welcome. We have the friendliest people. Your kids will have a blast at our Ascend Kids Church, and we hope to see you soon, don't we, everybody?
Amen.
Amen. Now, today, I want to speak to you about always be thankful. Tell your neighbor, always be thankful. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We just celebrated Thanksgiving this past Thursday. This is a national holiday in the United States that is set apart for giving thanks unto God. On Thanksgiving, we gather with family and friends to thank God for the many blessings that He has given us. A lot of people don't realize that Thanksgiving is not just about turkey. It's not just about family. That's all good. But it's about thanking God for His goodness and blessings in our life. That's what Thanksgiving's all about. We ask God to continue to guide, bless, and watch over the United States. You know, the founders of America, they thanked Almighty God, and they humbly sought His blessing and His wisdom. May we always live by that same trust. May God continue to watch over and bless the United States of America. Do you agree with that? The first Thanksgiving in America took place in 1621, when the Pilgrims and the Native Americans, they held a three-day celebration to thank God for their survival, thank God for their harvest. And George Washington, our first president, he proclaimed the first National Day of Thanksgiving. He said this about Thanksgiving. He said, Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. Now, I think we've continued, and I thank God that we've continued to have Thanksgiving. But I'm not so sure that everybody's praying and thanking God on Thanksgiving. And that's what we've got to remember. That's what it's all about. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln appointed a National Day of Thanksgiving. He declared it a federal holiday. And he made the following proclamation. He said, "The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever watchful providence of Almighty God. It seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent, how do you say it? Beneficent. Benevolent, excuse me, Father, who dwelleth in the heavens. I'm just testing you. Here's the thing. Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving holiday is to offer thanks to God for his blessings. But the Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, know this, that in the last days. How many of you know we're in the last days? We're in the last days. In the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankful, unholy. The Bible says in the last days, one of the signs is people will be unthankful. The Passion Bible said you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. People will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. Notice that ungrateful and unthankful and ungodly all go together. In Romans 1, verse 21, the Bible tells us throughout human history, the fingerprints of God were upon them, yet they refused to honor him as God or even be thankful for his kindness. Instead, they entertained corrupt and foolish thoughts about what God was like. This left them with nothing but misguided hearts steeped in moral darkness. One of the signs of the last days is unthankfulness or ungratefulness. The Word of God tells us in Colossians 3:15, always be thankful. Always be thankful. Not just once a year on Thanksgiving, but always be thankful. Sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. I love the way the Message Bible says it because the Message Bible says cultivate thankfulness. Do you know that thankfulness is something that you have to cultivate? It's something that you have to develop. It's something that every single one of us in this room, every single person listening to this, we all have to work at cultivating more thankfulness in our life. Amen? Amen? Colossians 1:12 says, always be thankful to the Father. The Passion Bible says your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. Colossians 2:7 says, let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done. Let your life overflow with thanksgiving. Hebrews 12:28 says, since we have a kingdom that nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts and with holy fear and awe. The Bible says that it is pleasing to God when we have an attitude of thankfulness. Can you say amen, somebody? In the Old Testament, God instructed his people to come into his presence at the temple with thanksgiving. It says in Psalm 100 verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful to him and bless his name. They would come into the temple once a year. They would come to the temple where God's presence was. And they would sing songs called the songs of ascent as they walked up the hill to go to Jerusalem. And they would enter his gates with thanksgiving. I love the way the Passion Bible says it. It says you can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. The Message Bible says enter with the password thank you. Let me tell you, there's something that happens. The more that you are thankful to God, the more doors begin to open for you. God is pleased when we have a thankful heart and attitude. Can you say amen, somebody? Thanksgiving's the password. Thanksgiving's the password that gives you access to God's presence, to God's blessing, to God's favor. The word thankful, I looked it up, it means to be beholden. Do you know one of the reasons why it's so pleasing to the Lord is because you got to understand we are beholden to God. Everything good in your life came from Him. I said everything, the breath in your mouth, God gave it to you. We are beholden to Him. It also means obliged. It means grateful. It means appreciative, conscious of benefit received. Are you, any of us, conscious that we have some benefits we've received from the Lord? Some synonyms. In other words, some words that are similar mean the same thing really as being thankful, is to be blissful, to be glad, to be joyful, to be happy, to be satisfied, to be pleased. That's all part of being thankful. Some antonyms, the opposite of thankfulness is to be displeased, to be dissatisfied, to be joyless, to be unhappy. If you're unhappy, you're not thankful. If you don't have joy, you're not thankful. If you're not content, you're not thankful, because we all got a reason to be thankful in our life. Psalm 95 verse 2 says, come, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 50 verse 14 says, offer to God thanksgiving. Psalm 69 verse 30, I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Hebrews 13, 15, therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Amen. Say, I'm going to be thankful. The book of Acts says this about the early church, even though they endured great persecution. It says in Acts 2:46, they worshiped together regularly at the temple each day. They met in small groups in homes for communion, and they shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness. Think about that. They were living under the threat of being arrested, thrown in jail. And the Bible says they met every day, and they were thankful, and they were full of joy. Let me tell you one main key to living a happy life, enjoying your life, is we have to learn how to stay grateful. We have to learn how to be thankful. We have to learn how to focus on what's right instead of focusing on what's wrong. Let me tell you, the seeds of discouragement cannot take root in a thankful and a grateful heart. I'm going to say that again. The seeds of discouragement cannot take root in a thankful and a grateful heart. There's power in thanksgiving. If you're not happy today, if you're down, if you're discouraged, if you're tempted to be discouraged, the quickest way out of that is to stop focusing on what you don't have and start thanking God for what you do have. Find some reason to be grateful. Find a reason to be grateful. Every one of us here, we've got many things to be grateful for. Just that you're sitting here today. In Jupiter, Florida, you can be grateful. Being grateful will lift you out of depression. It'll lift you out of discouragement. You know that? Being grateful can help turn a relationship around. It can save a marriage. It's amazing what happens when we stop focusing on someone's faults. We stop complaining about what they're doing wrong. And instead, we start seeing the good. Amen. Let me tell you, being thankful at your job, expressing gratitude to your employer can help save your job during a time of layoffs. It can help you get a promotion. People like to be around grateful people. They're drawn to people who are thankful and appreciative. When we get up in the morning, let me tell you, before you even turn on the TV, watch the news or read the newspaper or think about your problems that you got to face, the first thing you should do is thank God you're alive. Thank God you're healthy. Thank God for your job. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your friends. Thank God for the good things in your life. It'll change your whole outlook on the day. We need to start off the day with a grateful attitude. You can't go through the day negative and depressed as long as you have a spirit of thanksgiving. It's impossible. Well, Pastor Steve, you know, I would do that. But I got this old car, got no AC. It's hot outside. No, be grateful for what you do have. Let me tell you this, some people would love to have your car. Well, if I had more money, Pastor Steve, I'd sure be more happy. You got to change your perspective. You may not have all the money that you'd like, but if you have your health, that's worth That's worth a lot. I heard about a man, one of the wealthiest men in the world. He was worth over $1 billion, but he didn't have his health. He had a lot of health difficulties. He spent years going to hospitals, trying all different treatments. Do you know how much that man would have given to be healthy? He would have probably given all of it. You may not have everything that you would like, but you've got to keep it in perspective. If you have your health, you're extremely wealthy. You got something that $1 billion can't buy. Don't take for granted that you were able to get out of bed this morning without anybody having to help you. When you opened your eyes, you were able to see. When you told your legs to walk, they obeyed you. When you went to the kitchen, you had food to eat. Be thankful that you can breathe without any problems. You're not on a ventilator. If you see a homeless person, pray for them. And then thank God that you have a home. You see someone in a wheelchair, bless them. And thank God that you can walk. If you're in a wheelchair and you can't walk, thank God that you can see. Thank God that you can hear. You may not have legs. You can thank God you got arms. Find a reason to be grateful is what I'm trying to say. If you got a hard time getting to sleep tonight, instead of lying there frustrated in your bed, think about people that don't even have a bed. If you get stuck in traffic tomorrow, instead of getting upset, be thankful that you have a car you're able to drive in traffic. Maybe you have a tough day at the office next week. Instead of letting it ruin your week, be thankful that you have a job. If someone is mean and spiteful to you, they're jealous, angry, could be worse. You could be them. Be thankful you're not like that. We can all find a reason to give thanks. And let me tell you right now, I have discovered being grateful is the key to living a happy life. Our circumstances, you know, are up and down. People don't always do what is right. Disappointments come. It's a part of life. But if we can train ourselves to always see the good and always find a reason to be thankful, I can tell you right now, you are going to live your life much, much happier than if you didn't. I've discovered this because I'm a person that I have big dreams and I have big goals and I want to do big things. But I tell you right now, if I'm not careful, I can become frustrated. I can become dissatisfied. And I've learned that being thankful for what I do have, I'm so much happier living with an attitude of thankfulness. It's really changed. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says this, be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful in some circumstances? No, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. It says, this is God's will. Say, God wants me to be thankful in all circumstances. Now, notice it doesn't say to give thanks for everything. It says to thank God in everything. In other words, not everything that happens, thank you, Lord, that, you know, I got in a car wreck and smashed up my car. Thank you. No, God didn't cause the car wreck, but I thank God in it. Thank you, Lord, I had a car wreck, but thank you that you saved me and you protected me. Do you understand? The Living Bible says no matter what happens, always be thankful. Say no matter what happens, I'm always going to be thankful. In other words, Lord, in spite of what happened, I'm going to be thankful. I'm not going to focus on what's wrong. I'm going to find something positive in my life, and I'm going to be thankful for that. I may be sick, but I want to thank you for my family. I may be struggling at my job, but Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for my health. We all have difficult situations. We have to discipline ourselves to not stay focused on the negative, because that's where your mind naturally wants to go. But the fact is, there are some things in life that we cannot change. You can't change people. You can't make people do what is right. If you're constantly trying to, it's just going to frustrate you. You've got to turn that situation over to God. Do your part, but then trust God to do His part. Don't let it keep stealing your joy. When I get tempted to get down and discouraged, I've learned, number one, I've got to get my mind off my problems. I've got to quit focusing on what's wrong in my life and what I don't have. And number two, I've got to find a reason to be thankful. I've got to look at what's right and not what is wrong. Because let me tell you, every day is a gift from God. And you can, once it's gone, you can never get it back. And how are you going to choose to live this day? Happy, thankful, enthusiastic, or negative, discouraged, focused on your problems, what you don't have, who hurts you? Listen, get away from that junk, man. Find a reason to be thankful. Amen. Too often we're not grateful for something until it's almost taken away. Amen. When we get it back, we've got a new appreciation, man. It changes our perspective. Don't take your health for granted. Don't take your job for granted. Don't take the people in your life for granted. Husbands, don't take your wife for granted. And all the wives said, come on, wives, come on. Recognize your wife is a gift from God to you. Quit being critical and finding fault, complaining about what she's doing wrong. Right, honey? Right? Keep on going. That's good preaching, right? Start being thankful that you have somebody to love. Focus on what she's doing right rather than what she's doing wrong. Let me tell you, you've got to learn to overlook some things because everybody has weaknesses. Nobody's perfect, right? When you're tempted to be critical of your wife's faults, you got to remember it was those faults that kept her from getting a better husband. We all got room to improve, isn't that right? We all got weaknesses, but we got to focus on the good. Too many people, they're just enduring their marriage because they let these little things build up and then they get resentful. And before long, they're hard to get along with. They're at odds. They're arguing. You got to change your perspective. I challenge you today, find something good, one great quality about your spouse and magnify it. Just focus on that one good quality about your spouse. Your husband may not be the most romantic man in the world. He may not be the best communicator, but maybe he's a hard worker. He provides a great living, and you never have to worry about your bills. Start telling him, honey, I really appreciate you being such a great provider for our family. I really appreciate that. If you magnify the good, let me tell you, not only will you be happier in your life, but you'll see your husband rise higher in other areas of his life. Maybe your husband doesn't come to church with you, and you've tried, but he's just not interested. Listen, don't nag him. Worst thing you can do. Don't nag him. Just love him. Many ladies, they try and shove scriptures down their husband's throats, you know. They're always preaching to their husband, telling him what he's doing wrong. A better approach. Can I tell you a better approach? Be your husband's best friend. Be his best friend. Just be fun to be around. That'll draw him in quicker than any of that other stuff. You can't change your husband. Have you figured that out, ladies? You can't change your husband. You just pray for him, love him, be a good example. Let God take care of the rest. Do you know the Bible says in 1 Peter 3 verse 1, it says, now let me speak to the wives. Be devoted to your own husband so that even if some of them do not obey the word of God, your kind conduct may win them over without you saying a thing. And all the husbands said, those that weren't too afraid to, I should say, The Living Bible says it like this, and I think this is powerful. It says, wives, fit in with your husband's plans. For if they refuse to listen when you talk to them about the Lord, they will be won by your respectful, pure behavior. Your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. The Message Bible says, be good wives to your husband, responsive to their needs. Let me tell you, you take care of the needs of your husband and you're going to have a happy husband and you'll find he'll want to come to church with you. Don't use the excuse, well, you know, I don't have to treat my husband good. He doesn't even come to church with me. He's not as spiritual as I am. Listen, we all have the responsibility to treat our spouse with respect and with honor, not to take them for granted. Realize life is short, man. Life is like a vapor. That other person may not always be there. Have you told them lately that you love them? Have you hugged your husband? Have you kissed your wife?
Oh, no, Pastor Steve, we're mad at each other. We're at odds. We're arguing. She did this. He did that. What if you found out that your husband, your wife, only had a few weeks to live? How long would you stay upset? Or what if your spouse was only here for another month? How would you treat them? We need to live each day as if it could be our last. That's what Moses wrote in Psalm 90, verse 12. Moses said, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. Amen. Moses is saying, Lord, help me to remember that every day is a gift from you. Help me to be kind to the people in my life. Help me to focus on the good. Help me not to take things for granted in my life. We forget how fragile life is. We wait for Thanksgiving to give thanks. We wait for Christmas to give gifts. We wait for Valentine's Day to express love. We say to ourselves, well, today's just an ordinary day. And we wait. And while we wait, the clock ticks. Precious moments pass by. In reality, there's no such thing as an ordinary day. Each and every day is a gift from God. It's unique. It's irreplaceable. It's hours that can either be used or misused, invested or wasted. God, teach us to number our days. What are you focused on today? Are you focused on what's right or are you focused on what's wrong? Is there peace in your home and in your life? Are you happy? Are you at rest? Are you enjoying your life? Realize this day is special. It's not ordinary. We must make the most of every day. We need to live like it could be our last day. Not complaining and negative, holding grudges. Well, they did me wrong, so I'm not speaking to them. Be the bigger person. They may be at fault, but swallow your pride and make things right. Do you know how many people live their lives in regret? Do you know how many people say, if I could just tell them how much I really love them, if I just had another chance to tell them. Listen, life is fragile. We have to number our days. People are not going to be here forever. Have you told your parents lately that you love them? Have you told your spouse that you love him, her? Have you told your children? How great is it? Have you told them how great it is to have them in your life? I encourage you to do it often. Every time I see my kids, every time I tell them, I love you. Every time, I love you. I'm proud of you. I know sometimes we face difficulties, and sometimes it's a challenge to stay thankful and positive, but the alternative is we come to the end of our lives, and we have to say, you know what? I spent most of my life depressed, negative, mad, upset. No. Let's have a new mindset. Things may not be perfect in your life, but this is the day the Lord made. We're going to rejoice. That's what David said. David said in Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Let me tell you, there's nothing you going through God's not aware of. There's no situation in your life that's too difficult for Him. But God works where there's an attitude of faith. You've got to give God something to work with. You've got to be thankful no matter what. You've got to choose to be thankful. Because some of us, we're focusing on what we've lost, but we need to be thankful for what we have left. You may have lost a lot, but if God hadn't intervened, you could have lost it all. You've got to shake off the self-pity and the discouragement and find a reason to be thankful no matter what happens in life. Always be thankful. Amen. Because let me tell you, if you have the right attitude, we can find the good. We can see the sunshine even when it's cloudy. We can have joy even when things aren't going the way that we want them to. Sometimes Thanksgiving is a sacrifice that you have to offer to God. That's what Psalm 116 says. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Psalm 50 verse 23 says, giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. You know, the Bible says you are honoring God when you're thankful to Him. It says, giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me, and if you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. Do you notice that thanksgiving and salvation connected together? You see, he says, if you keep to my path, what path? The path of thanksgiving. The Hebrew word for thanksgiving is the word todah, and it means an extension of the hand or a sacrifice of praise. And I want you to know there's power in thanksgiving. Jonah offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving when he was in the belly of the great fish. In Jonah 2 verse 9, it says, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. Salvation is of the Lord. The Message Bible said, I'm worshiping you, God. I'm calling out in thanksgiving. Do you know that when you start giving thanks to God, it's like you're calling out. It's a prayer. It's a faith that shines out. God looks down and he sees this thanksgiving honoring him. It calls out to him. What happened when Jonah offered thanksgiving from the belly of the great fish? God supernaturally delivered him. That fish delivered him up on right where he was supposed to be, right? When King Jehoshaphat, the people of Judah, they were surrounded by three armies. It looked like certain defeat. What did they do? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. They started thanking and praising God. He set the singers at the front of the army, and they go marching into battle. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. What happened? God supernaturally delivered them. I love it, man. It says in verse 22, at the very moment they began to sing, at the very moment they began to give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. And the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir, and they killed every one of them. And after they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had survived. The enemy literally destroyed themselves as God's people gave thanks and praise to the Lord. There is power in thanksgiving, family. It's God's way of deliverance. Say, thanksgiving is powerful. Say, thanksgiving puts me on the path for God to deliver me. That's what it says. Psalm 50, 23, the New International Version says, those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me, and I will show them my salvation. The Modern English Version says, whoever sacrifices a thank offering glorifies and makes a way, and I will show him the salvation of God. When I start giving God thanks, I am making a way where there never was a way. The Message Bible says this, as soon as you set your foot on the way, I'll show you my salvation. What is the way that brings you God's salvation? It's the way of thanksgiving. It's the way of praise. It's marching into battle saying, thanks to the Lord, his mercy endures forever. That puts you on the path of deliverance and salvation. This is powerful stuff, man. I'm preaching myself happy today. God promises to deliver you, to save you, to make a way when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Jeremiah 33 verse 11 says, when you bring thank offerings into God's temple, I will restore everything that was lost in this land, and I'll make everything as good as new. I, God, say so. I say so. When you begin to offer a sacrifice of praise, God says, I'll restore what you lost. The Amplified Bible says, I will cause the captivity of the land to be reversed. I pray, God, reverse everything that has happened in this nation, every negative thing that this virus has caused. I pray it be reversed and that God restore in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, if you will begin to thank God in advance, even when you don't see anything good happening, then God will reverse negative situations. God will restore what should have been ours. We must be thankful for what God has done in our life. But we must also thank him in advance for what we are trusting and believing that he will do. Are you with me? I thank God before it even happens. I'm thanking God in advance. You see, when the armies of, of Judah went marching into battle, they were thanking God before they saw the victory. And the moment they started singing, that's when God began to deliver them. See, instead of complaining, rather say, Lord, I want to thank you, even though I don't see how this could change. I thank you, Lord, that you can make a way, even when I don't see a way. I want to thank you, Lord, that the answer is on the way in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you're meeting all my needs. Thank you, Lord, my healing is coming. Thank you, Lord, you're turning this situation around. Thank you, Lord, my children, they will serve you and fulfill their destiny. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you, if you live like that, you better get ready, because God's going to reverse, God's going to restore, God is going to reverse finances that were going down, he's going to reverse them, he's going to reverse a business that was slow, he's going to reverse a bad medical report, he's going to reverse that legal situation and turn it to your favor in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you. Not only that, God's going to restore what should have been yours. He's going to restore the years you lost because somebody did you wrong. Praise and thanksgiving causes God to go to work in your life, family. It breaks chains that are holding you back. It opens up supernatural doors. It causes things to just fall into place. It causes God to cause everything to work together for your good. Some of you, you've prayed about a situation long enough. You know what you've got to do now? You've got to switch over into thanksgiving. You've got to get up every morning and you've got to say, Father, I want to thank you that my dreams are coming to pass. I want to thank you that my victory, my breakthrough is on the way. I want to thank you that promotion is coming. I want to thank you for restoration. I want to thank you, Lord, for the victory. I want to thank you in advance. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The Bible says, don't worry about anything. What do I do, Pastor Steve? Don't worry. Give it to God. Make your request. Present your request. But make sure you do it with thanksgiving. Even when Jesus was on the earth, he thanked his heavenly Father for the answer before it even came. His friend Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus stood at Lazarus's tomb. He looked up to heaven, and the Bible says in John 11, 41, Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you have heard my prayer. Lazarus was still dead when Jesus was thanking his heavenly Father that he heard his prayer and that he was alive. If Jesus thought it was important enough to thank God before the answer came, then surely we should get in the habit of not only asking God, not only presenting our request to God, but let's take it one step further and let's start thanking God for the answer in advance. Even when you don't see any sign of it happening, start thanking God. I pray that we would have a spirit of thanksgiving. I pray that we would always focus on the good, that we wouldn't take things for granted, that we would treat each day as a unique, irreplaceable gift from God, that we realize that life is fragile, life is short, every day is a gift. Make the most of it. Don't take people for granted. Don't go around focused on what's wrong. Find a reason to be thankful. The seeds of discouragement cannot take root in a thankful heart. If you get up every day and thank God for the day, then go through the day with a grateful attitude, always focused on the good things in your life. Let me tell you, you will live happier. You will rise higher. You'll see God do amazing things. You'll see breakthroughs. You'll see victories. You'll see supernatural deliverance. And you will live a life of victory that God has in store for you in the name of Jesus. If you believe it today, if you receive it today, give God some thanks and praise and put your hands together. Say, thank you, Lord. Come on, why don't you just try it right now? Just lift your hands and say, Lord, I want to thank you that you're so good to me. I say, I want to thank you for every good thing in my life. Just start thanking him. Lord, I want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you for my health. I want to thank you that I know you. I want to thank you for protecting me all those times I never even realized it. I want to thank you, Lord, for healing me. I want to thank you, Lord. Just give God thanks. Thank you, Lord, for turning this situation. I want to thank you in advance for taking care of this. I want to thank you, Lord, for fighting my battles for me. I want to thank you, Lord, for providing every need. Lord, I want to live with a thankful heart. I'm going to focus on the good. I'm not going to focus on what I don't have. I'm going to focus and thank God for what I do have. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be grateful in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen, church? Amen. Why don't you bow your head for a moment, please? I want to pray. Lord, I thank you for every person here today. I'm thankful for every person here, every person that's watching this, listening to this, Lord. I pray for every person that they would know you better, that they would find freedom in every area of their life, and that they would discover the purpose you have for them. They'd make a difference in their life. Listen, while you have your eyes closed, while you have your heads bowed, I want to pray right now for everyone who's here this morning, everyone who's watching this. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord today, I want to pray for you. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, you know, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm asking you, if you died today, are you absolutely sure that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you the good news. You can be sure about that. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right and all is well between you and the Lord. You can walk out of here knowing that heaven is where you're going to spend all eternity when you die. You can walk out of here knowing that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's been forgiven and washed away. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. I want to be sure that when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Let me tell you, there's a heaven that awaits us. Heaven is a real place, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me, won't you just slip your hand up right now? Just lift your hand up high. Just slip that hand up. Raise it up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. I see hands being raised. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to ask everybody to say this prayer, especially if you raised your hand. The Scripture tells us in Romans 10 in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What that means is, if you will believe that Jesus died on that cross for you, and if you will believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead and he is alive, and if you will surrender and confess and receive him to be Lord of your life, the Bible says you will be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer. I want you to say this. Please, everybody say, Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your only son, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross and shed his blood for me, to take my punishment and my sin. Lord, you said, come on, everybody say it. Lord, you said, if I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess with my mouth that he is my Lord, you said I will be saved. So I do this today. Say, I believe in my heart, Jesus, you're alive. I confess you as Lord of my life. Say, from today, I'm going to live for you, Jesus. I'm going to do what your Bible says. Say, I thank you, Lord, because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father, and I'm your very own child. Heaven is now my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And amen. Say amen, everybody. Amen and amen. Praise God. If you said that prayer, I'm going to ask you in a few minutes just to remain seated as we close in a few minutes. We have a gift we want to give you. One of our volunteers, our servant leader, is going to come over to you, give you a gift. So if you would just remain where you are, thank you so much. Praise God. You ready? You know, one way that we really demonstrate our thankfulness to the Lord is by giving. That's exactly right.
I love it. I love it. Praise God. Now's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. To those that are watching online, you can give as well. It's real simple. There's different ways. Just click give online. There's a link on the Facebook Live. Go ahead and give. And we always like to read a scripture because whatever we do should line up with the Word of God, right? And obviously, I tried to take the thought from what the message is. And I want to read you just a few verses, four verses from First Chronicles, because they were building the house of God. And, you know, the Bible says that David was the apple of God's eye, which means that God really favored David. Something about David's heart and his character, something about David really pleased the Lord. And I just want you to hear David's, I won't read the whole thing. If you want to read in 1 Chronicles 29, but the one part David says, because of my affection for the house of God, I've given out of my personal treasure. So he just emptied his personal treasures, which as the king, they listed. It's gold, and it's 112 tons of gold. That was just the one thing. And then everything else. And he said, because of my affection for the house of God. But then he goes on and he says this. It says this in verse 9. It says, the people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours. O Lord, this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone. These are some powerful statements because it's revealing how he was a rich, rich man. And it was revealing how he viewed what he had. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Oh, our God, we thank you. We praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. Come on. Listen, we're not doing anybody any favors when we give. We got it all from God. You know, sometimes we want to pat ourselves on the back and say, well, you know, I gave so much, or I gave over and above, or I gave something special. Let me tell you, if God hadn't have given it to us, we wouldn't even have had it, right? And so just let's maintain this attitude of thankfulness. We came in with nothing, and we're going out with nothing. So, but what we do with it here can either please God, build the kingdom, help people, or not, right? So we're going to give today. We're going to give with thankful hearts. Say this. Say, thank you, Lord, for everything I have. Everything comes from you. And so, family, as you bring your tithe and your offering, you're just acknowledging that. You're acknowledging, God, you're first. I can tithe because I know you first. You're the one who gives it to me. Amen. And I love that word. I love that statement. I wrote it down. Pastor Steve said, because it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And he says, when you have a thankful heart, doors will begin to open. Amen. Let's trust God for promotion. Trust God to further our careers. Trust God to bless our children. Trust God to increase us. Yes. Amen. Praise God.
Yes, hold your envelope to the Lord right now. Hold it up. Everyone, you're giving. Whatever you're giving.
If you gave online.
You're giving online. Whatever you're doing, just hold it up. Say, Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank you.
Everyone, say, Father, I thank you.
Father, we thank you.
For every good thing in my life.
Every good thing in my life.
I acknowledge, Lord, that everything I have,
you
gave it to me.
You gave it.
Lord, I honor you today.
With the tithe,
with my offering,
I'm grateful
for your goodness.
And
I thank you, Lord, that as I honor you,
that
the windows of heaven
are
open above my life,
that
you pour blessing upon me, you protect me. In Jesus' name, Do you believe it this morning?
Amen.
Shout amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Are you ready to give today? Everyone ready to give? Say, I'm ready. Say, I'm a cheerful giver. Ushers, are you ready today? Okay, go ahead, please. Pass the offering buckets. Thank you so much. And I want to say thank you to all of our servant leaders who served in God's house today. Give them a big round of applause. We appreciate you. Our children's church teachers and our ushers and our greeters and our musicians, our singers, and our media team, our TV production team, doing such a great job. Won't you give them a big round of applause? We really appreciate you. Thank you for everything that you do. We are a team. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm thankful that you were here today. I say, I'm thankful I sat next to you. Come on, stand up with us as we get ready to go home today. Stand up with us. Let's just give God thanks one more time. What do you say? We're going to see you next Sunday. You're going to invite someone, man. If you're thankful to the Lord for this church, bring somebody with you next week. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Glorious day. Come on, let's go for it.
Oh, you call my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Yeah, you call my name, and I ran out of that grave. Oh, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.